How he loves us so. How he loves us all. Thank you, Drew, and our worship team. Craig, I didn't even know you could play the piano, but so beautiful. Thank you for leading us this morning, friends, as we continue in this precious spirit of worship and prepare our hearts for this sermon. Will you pray with me? Oh, our God, this day we come to you grateful for the amazing love that you offer to us, that you love us so, that you love us all, that if grace were an ocean, we would all be sinking. God, your love and your grace surround us and fill us and are available to us at all times and everywhere. And so, our God, this morning, as we open your word together, as we want to say thank you for all that love and grace, as we want to be changed and transformed by your love and grace, our God, open our hearts to you in these moments and shape us to be your people in your precious world. Amen. Well, friends, this morning we are beginning a new sermon series that we have titled Rend Your Hearts, Claiming the Promises. And over the next 7 weeks, we will be looking at the Gospels of Mark and John as we journey together through the season of Lent. Now, for those of us who may not be as familiar with the season of Lent, or for those of us who might just need to be reminded, Lent is a 40-day period of time. We don't count Sundays, but we start with Ash Wednesday, which, of course, we just observed last week. And we end on Easter Sunday, which this year is the first Sunday in April, just to give you an idea of that time frame on your calendars this year. Now, Lent is traditionally this time of preparation and prayer, a time to draw close to God, to perhaps take on daily practices like prayer or scripture reading, serving our community, or advocating for justice, really anything that might help us to focus more intentionally on God and especially on what God has done through Jesus Christ to reach the world with God's love. So as we take these 40 days or these 7 weeks to be more intentional with our time, as we focus on all that God has done for us, I want to remind us all that, you know, this is really a beautiful opportunity, this time of Lent. It's a holy, sometimes challenging moment to pause, to take a deep breath and to be still and silent, to examine our lives and to really consider in a reflective way what we are doing, or perhaps what we have left undone in being true disciples of Jesus Christ. We consider who Christ is and how Christ lived in his time on earth, and we open ourselves up to God in this more intentional way. And so as I think about this 40-day journey we will be on together, and as I think about the incredible stories of Jesus that we will all encounter each Sunday in the next 7 weeks, friends, I simply want to take a moment this morning to encourage you to show up this season of Lent, to bring your full selves to God. Now is the time. As our scripture says today, now is the time to make ourselves more available to God, more intentional in our faith and in how we live out God's love in our lives. And our sermon series is really going to help us with this. Now, the sermon series title, Rend Your Hearts, Claiming the Promise, may seem a bit puzzling at first. We don't typically use the word rend around our house. I'm not sure if you all have used that word frequently, but it really captures the spirit of this potentially life-transforming period of time in which we find ourselves, and it's so relevant to the scripture passage before us today that I want to take just a moment to look at that word rend before we jump into our scripture from Mark this morning. So if you joined us for worship on Ash Wednesday, then you might actually recall hearing that word rend, because we read it in our sanctuary service and included it in our Ash Wednesday service at home as well. It comes to us from the prophet Joel in the second chapter, verses 12 and 13, when we hear God saying to God's people, and hear these words as if God is saying them to you, "Yet even now, says God, return to me. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." Hear the word rend in that scripture. So in ancient times, to tear or to rend clothing would have been this deep sign of repentance, of remorse for anything that would have grieved the heart of God. And yet in this specific passage of scripture, which is almost always read on Ash Wednesday and is so important to the season of Lent, the rending of the heart is ultimately about bringing forward to God one's whole heart, one's whole life. God is encouraging and calling God's people to return, even and especially with their full, authentic, broken, imperfect hearts and lives. Isn't that reassuring that God calls us even in that manner? And that when they rend their hearts, when they bring before God all their brokenness and all their pain, all the things they have done or left undone that did not honor that God of amazing grace and boundless love, when they come in that spirit of humility and openness to being changed by God, then they are also enabled and empowered to claim the promises of God: forgiveness, redemption, new life, new possibilities, freedoms from the hurts, habits, and hang-ups of life, as they say, and celebrate recovery. When we rend our hearts and bring our full broken lives to God, God's love never fails, right? God is faithful to heal us, to help us, to make us new, and to call us into God's mission of sharing God's love with this world. So friends, whether you began with Ash Wednesday or you are starting today, we are at the beginning of this Lenten journey together of rending our hearts, taking time in these 40 days to examine our hearts and lives and look for every opportunity to draw closer to the God who loves us so. How he loves us all. And while it is somewhat tempting to stop here and to just end the sermon and say amen and let you all go home, I'm not going to do it, not today. We have such a beautiful and powerful, impactful scripture in front of us, and it is such a great example of this rending of our hearts, bringing our full selves to God, and then claiming the promises of that same God. New life, new possibilities when we trust and we believe in God's goodness. And I don't know how things are exactly for you and your world right now, but for me, I want to be as available to God's goodness as I possibly can be in these days. So we're going to take a few moments to explore this scripture together. So as we do, remember that we are looking at the very first chapter of this gospel, and this is a gospel, again, that is action-packed. It is quick-paced. We read verses 9 through 15 just a few moments ago, and as we look at those a bit more closely today, I want to invite you to practice something with me. It's a sort of call and response type of thing, which basically means that I'll say a line and then you'll say a line, and when we do that, we're sort of praying that God will help us to hold on to these important words. It's based on verse 15 that we read, and I think Jay is going to be able to help us out by displaying it. If he's looking for it and can't find it, I'm going to let you know what it is. It's the very end there where Jesus is talking about how now is the time we're going to change our hearts and lives. Remember that what we are announcing and proclaiming together in these moments is nothing less than Jesus proclaiming God's good news, the promises of God for all who would hear Jesus and rend or present themselves fully to be participants in this good news. Okay, so remember, Jesus has been baptized, the Spirit has descended, Jesus has gone into the wilderness, tempted by Satan for 40 days, and then all of a sudden, after John is arrested, here comes Jesus announcing God's good news, saying, now is the time, here comes God's kingdom, change your hearts and lives, and trust this good news. So let's practice saying these lines together. Let's put those back up on the screen. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So I'm going to say, now is the time. And you're going to say, change your hearts and lives. Great. If you're worshiping with us online and you're in your car, say it out loud and make those people next to you look and see what's going on. Now is the time. All right, I want to encourage you to hold on to that. This is not concluding the interactive portion of our sermon time. We're going to do this again throughout because I want us to remember what God is calling us to, the importance of this moment. I believe that this last verse of our scripture reading today holds within it the heart-rending and promise-claiming aspects of who our God is. And I have to tell you that every time I read this scripture over and over again in preparing for the sermon, every time I got to that line, my heart just was filled with hope and with inspiration in these hard and difficult days. The expectation rises up when we read these words because we think about the power of God to work through Jesus Christ, to work through you, and to work through me to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. A kingdom that we know is one where we love God and love neighbor more fully, where people are whole and healthy, where communities are restored and just, where we live together as a people who are more intentional each day to turn away from all that would keep us from God and to turn toward God with our full hearts and lives. And the time to make that turn, the time to live that way is now, right? Now is the time. Change your hearts and lives. All right, so friends, as we look at this action-packed portion of scriptures, we see how in the Gospel of Mark, God's kingdom unfolds in the life of Jesus, God's Son. You know, the author of Mark does not mince words, does not take a whole lot of time with frilly language or deep descriptions, but rather gets right to the point about this very dramatic, very divine action of God to reach out once more to humanity with God's amazing grace, God's amazing love through Jesus Christ. The message we are repeating back and forth to one another in verse 15, it seems, is vital to understand what God is doing in the world and who God is calling both Jesus and us, the followers of Jesus, to be. If you have your Bible with you and it's open, then you might notice that in just these first 15 verses, the author of Mark wastes no time in telling us what God is doing. If you don't have your scripture in front of you right now, then I encourage you to take some time today to read just this first chapter of Mark, because so much happens, all with this goal of letting us know, reminding us that God is so very active in the life of God's people. So verse 1 in Mark 1 says that this gospel is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. So there is no manger here. There is no song of Mary to prepare us. There are no shepherds, no wise men or angels preparing the way. No birth story. We just go straight to grown-up Jesus and the purpose God has for him in calling all of God's people to God's work in the world. Right in verse 4, we learn that John has come before Jesus. Remember, John is preparing the way. And in Mark, he's very specific to say that the way John is preparing the way for Jesus is by calling people to be baptized, to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. There's that phrase again. So right away in the Gospel of Mark, we learn that Jesus is God's Son. And almost equally important, we learn that vital to the good news of God is this notion that people are called and compelled to present their full, authentic, imperfect selves before God in baptism, all with the hope that their hearts and lives might be changed. Is that theme starting to sound familiar to you in these days of Lent? Help me again with our call. Now is the time. Change your hearts and lives. As we keep going in chapter 1, John announces that he is preparing the way for one who is stronger than him and who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 9, where we began today, we find out that strong one is Jesus from Nazareth. Nazareth being this small, insignificant town in the last place that the first readers of this gospel would have imagined God's Son to come from. Yet as soon as he arrives, Jesus is baptized. And what happens here is effectively Jesus rends his own heart, right? Jesus shows up fully himself, presents his full self to God. And in this momentous occasion, the heavens rend as well, right? The heavens are split open. God's Spirit comes down and rests in Jesus, who hears the word of God saying, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love, and you I find happiness." We cannot understate glorious, how magnificent, how important this moment was. This Trinitarian moment comes quickly and dramatically in Mark's gospel. God claims and pronounces as beloved God's Son, and though we do not get to tarry very long in this moment in the gospel of Mark, my goodness, power of these words cannot help but leave us wondering how important this moment must have been for Jesus, for his confidence, for his capacity to trust God, even and especially in the most difficult moments. And we know that Jesus encounters a lot of those. As we pause here ever so briefly, we may find ourselves reflecting on our own baptisms. And it is important that we should remember that those baptismal waters, those claim us as well as children of God, as beloved of God, as utterly held and sustained by God. And as we think in this current season about what it might look like to present our full selves before God, it is so important for us to be reminded of moments like this one. Perhaps you can call them to mind even now, those times when God's presence and love were so apparent to you, when God's confidence and call simply filled you, when God's assurance and joy at simply who you are as a precious, beloved child of God, those things surrounded and filled you. Because as quickly as God speaks, the Spirit then forces Jesus out into the wilderness where he is among wild animals, tested and tempted by Satan, and apparently cared for by the angels. What a mysterious and holy scene. Here again, in this action-packed, quick-paced Gospel of Mark, we do not get a whole lot of detail about what happens during this time. We do know that the wilderness would be representative of a place of isolation and danger, almost of darkness and despair, yet the Spirit and the angels are apparently with Jesus. There's no real elaboration on what Satan does to tempt, or some translations say to test, Jesus. This scene has a lot more detail in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. What seems to be important, though, to the author of Mark is that Jesus clearly comes out of this darkness, which is so helpful for us to remember and to hold on to in our own days of darkness as well. Jesus comes out of this darkness ready to announce God's good news. And help me one more time, friends, what does he say? But now is the time. Change your hearts and lives. Jesus has been called by God, baptized by the rending of heaven, which has opened up new possibilities for God to reach out to humanity once more. Christ has weathered the isolation and the dangers of the wilderness, the temptations and the tests of Satan. And after John is arrested, Jesus comes with as urgent a message as the author of Mark can convey. Now is the time, not next week, not next month, not next year, but right now. The heavens have been torn open and the love of God has been made manifest in Jesus. God's kingdom has come, and it is not a physical location, but it is this whole new reality and way of being that we come to understand in Jesus Christ. Friends, the very life of Christ is the embodiment of the kingdom of God, the realm and the reign of God, so that when Jesus says, here comes God's kingdom, he is naming that God is at work right now, even now, to bring about God's full purposes for God's world. God is at work right now, redeeming and restoring and bringing wholeness and vitality, justice and peace to the world. And friends, now is the time for us to be an active part of that inbreaking of God's kingdom as well, God's way of life. Now is the time. Mark's gospel could not be any more urgent or direct for the original audience, nor for us. And in this season of Lent, in these days of intentional living, I pray that we would joyfully and thoughtfully consider how we might belong to what God is so lovingly doing for us and for all in this world. Now is the time for us to change our hearts and lives. Why would we wait? We are living in an incredibly challenging time and moment right now, and it is right and it is good to name our pain and our grief, our dismay and our despair, so that together and with God's help, we can make it through our own wilderness. Yes, it is incredibly hard right now. But friends, we are here right now. We are here. God has given us this time. And the time is now to rend our hearts, to bring our full lives to God, that we might claim the promises of God. So how, friends, can we live into God's kingdom in the next 40 days in a way that makes us available to God to change our hearts and our lives? How can we trust this good news as Jesus implores us to do in the closing lines of our scripture today? Friends, God is reaching out to us once more in love and grace with the hope of God's kingdom in which all God's people are beloved and restored and made new. How will we respond to what God has done? Say it with me one more time. Now is the time. Change your hearts and lives. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.